This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by Passionate World Talk Radio and Lillian Caldwell. PassionateWorldTalkRadio.com. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I'm so happy that you came back once again. Well, today I have such an excellent guest, as I always promise to have excellent guests, but this woman really speaks to me. I met her during a panel discussion that I hosted some months ago. Her name is Stephanie Chick, and she is a freedom coach, and she spoke on the panel a little bit briefly about the concept of freedom. And she has something that she exercises as a wellness practitioner. I'm going to call her that. You can correct me, Stephanie, if I'm wrong. And it's called the seven behaviors. And Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Toni. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And I think that you're appearing on the show this week is so apropos. I'll share with the audience that we're recording this on the evening of Inauguration Day in the United States. To all the listeners that are not in this country, just acknowledge that. And I know that the whole world was watching, but most significantly, I think having Stephanie on is apropos, as we've seen a few firsts happen today. And Stephanie is someone that is actually practicing something that I'm not familiar with, but I knew instinctively it's something that we all need. So Stephanie, tell us all about what you do and explain to us what it is to be a freedom coach.
Thank you so much. So I would say that I am a teacher, probably first, a coach, and the creator of these seven behaviors for living free. And I know that we're in the middle of a pandemic and we've had all these issues with the presidency and people are going through, you know, personal problems in terms of their jobs and health-wise with the pandemic. But if we stepped back from all of the sort of mayhem that's going on right now and could imagine that no matter what problems are happening externally in the world, that somehow internally you could find your center. You could feel grounded, you could feel at peace, that you had the opportunity to pursue work that you truly loved and sort of made your toes wiggle. I used to use that phrase when I worked in corporate America, that your relationships were healthy, or that even if you had problems in your relationships, you could find a way to work through those problems in a really healthy and meaningful way. And that really what you felt most of the time was this sense of peace and love and light. I know love came up a lot during the inauguration today, and that your life felt like success. That's what it means to live free. That's what we're all looking for. We don't want to be bound by anything. But the issue is that we have to make a choice in terms of how we want our life to be.
Do you find that I notice this often just in dealing with people regularly forever, is that very often people will assign a reason, and also I don't like to use the word excuse. Sometimes people would say, well, what's your excuse? And I'll say, I don't have an excuse, but I can tell you the reason. I find a lot of times people will assign their problem to something very specific, and it's usually something outside of themselves, when often it's really something inside of you.
It's all inside. What I say, freedom is an inside job, from soup to nuts. It really is. What I can't control is what's happening outside of me. I can't control what problem is going to show up on my doorstep tomorrow morning. I can't control what's happening in the economy, what's happening in terms of the political landscape, what's happening culturally inside of our country. But what I have 100% control over is how I respond to those external situations.
Right.
And that's freedom, when you realize that nothing external affects your internal way of being.
And I think also during this COVID corona times, I like to call it, I find that, you and I did talk about that, I've noticed that there's a collective malaise, there's a collective melancholy that's happening. Yet everybody's situation is very unique. And I imagine that the seven behaviors that you talk about could actually address this.
It can, but where it starts with, and I think I mentioned it a little earlier, is about choice. So I'm not trying to belittle or not show sensitivity for the struggles that people are going through. Everyone, you know, I face my own personal struggles as well. But I think what I decided many years ago is that I was always going to make a conscious choice about how I respond to those problems and situations and challenges that I face. And so I always tell people, you can make a choice to suffer or you can make a choice to succeed. You can say that there is a problem in your life or you can see that problem as a possibility. You can choose to feel enslaved or you can choose to feel free. It's really up to you to choose the lens that you want to look through your life in.
Do any of the people, the clients that you deal with, you know, especially now, do they come to you with that whole big question, which I've heard, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, is what am I going to do now? You know, because we talked about how a lot of people are not comfortable being alone. They don't enjoy their own company, in my opinion, the way they should. And we talked about how some people deal with it very well. I don't mind being alone. I mean, I like to be around people. I can get lonely, but it's usually more solitude than loneliness. And then occasionally you cross that little threshold into loneliness and you have to fight to get back to that feeling of solitude. What could someone do if they just don't know why they're on the planet?
Again, I wish I could give you an easy answer to all of this because it's an existential kind of question that you're asking. And I think in some point in our lives, we all get to that place of like, why am I here? How do I get out of this mess? You know, what's my next step? And that's when we really have to use one of the seven behaviors, which is be still, so that in that stillness, truth can be revealed. So maybe it is in that loneliness, you do need to reach out to someone and get a support group that's going to help you. Maybe it is because you haven't found some other activities to get involved in that can, you know, you haven't pivoted, so to speak. So the activities that you were doing were outside of the home. So what activities would bring you joy inside of the home?
Right.
But until you give yourself some space, again, to go within, you can't find those answers. And nobody external from you, you know, outside of you can give you that truth.
Right. It's true. No one outside of yourself. What are the seven behaviors? You know, because we talked about this. I think that a lot of people like a framework to work within in order to make a change because we're about to have another collective paradigm shift.
I agree. So the seven behaviors, just to give you a little backstory in terms of, you know, how they were all created. So again, a lot of the problems and challenges that you're talking about, I faced them too. And I was trying to figure out everything that I could do, you know, to make myself happy, to feel more successful, to keep climbing, you know, the corporate ladder, all of that stuff. And everything that I did only worked for a little bit, just a little bit. And then that urging to try something else. So I was never settled. I was never free because I was always groping after the next thing. And as I progressed in my professional career, I got to a point where I hit a wall and I was deeply unfulfilled in my job, successful, but not fulfilled. And I decided from that point forward that I was going to figure out how to live free. So step by step, it wasn't an overnight thing. I began to change the way that I behaved because my premise for seven behaviors is that the way you behave keeps you enslaved. So the moment that I felt any kind of enslavement, which is some kind of disturbance, just you just don't feel like things are on the right track, I decided, what can I do to shift that? And over time, I began to notice that there were certain behaviors that started to liberate me. And over time, it became a framework of these seven behaviors. And the first behavior is be truthful.
Okay.
If you aren't in your truth, if you're masking and pretending about really what matters to you, you're enslaving yourself. So when I was in the corporate job and I wasn't satisfied, I was feeling enslaved because deep down, I knew that wasn't work that I really wanted to do. Again, I was successful at it, but it wasn't fulfilling. It was in sales and marketing, business development, and my passion was for developing people. So the first starting point of breaking the chains is being truthful with yourself about who you really are, what really motivates you, what really inspires you. That's the starting point for living free. Be truthful.
I think a lot of people could stop, it wouldn't be me, but I know people that would stop right there as like being truthful with themselves, because it's funny, that's the first behavior. And I think for many people, I can say that I know this, that's the hardest one.
Oh, it is. I mean, but the phrase that the truth will set you free.
Yes.
it will. Will it bruise you up a little bit on the way? Absolutely. But that's the starting point. You will never feel free if you aren't living authentically. So that was the starting point for me, is saying, you know what, this is not the career path. This is not my highest purpose in life. And I just need to be able to accept that truth. And then obviously the steps come with, okay, well then how do I shift into that? And it actually is a great segue into the next behavior, which is be courageous.
Yeah.
So once you're in truth, you then have to be courageous enough to take the actions, to take the steps that'll keep you aligned with your truth. And people get nervous with this behavior too, because being courageous implies that you are going to have to step outside your comfort zone. You're going to have to step into some risk, some uncertainty. But again, you're never going to be free if you are too afraid to move from where you are to where you want to be.
It's interesting how some people could be afraid of doing what's in their best interest.
Yeah.
I've seen it in people.
Yeah. We self-sabotage.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you have to go deep within that individual person to sort of understand that.
Absolutely.
I think that a lot of successful people have been there too.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. I coach primarily Fortune 500 corporate execs, and they struggle with truth and being courageous because they have put themselves in a position where they have been enticed by the power, the position, the perks. And it's like, oh my God, I have to give all that up, or I need to go and make a parallel shift in terms of my career. Wow, I've been living this fantasy of what I thought I wanted my life to be, and now I have to give it all up.
So courageous. You have to have courage.
You definitely have to have courage. The other thing is, in that courage, you have to be detached. That's the third behavior. And if I'm going to stand in my truth, I'm going to courageously take steps that align me with that truth. What that implies is that I'm going to have to detach from things that are no longer useful for me or no longer aligned with my real truth. So the problem is, once we get on a path, we get in a train, we don't want to get off, because it's going to, again, take us outside of our comfort zone. What are people going to think? That's a relationship, a job, any kind of situation. We tend to want to hold on. We don't want to let go. But how are you going to be able to receive what it is that you truly want that's going to make you feel like you're living free if you can't let go of what no longer serves you?
I think a lot of times people have to examine the things that they decide to hold on to. Often, I imagine for many people, it could force you to acknowledge your own superficialities.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's very hard looking at, you know, the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, and being able to recognize that you've been holding on to something that, again, is not right for you in this moment. So that's the thing, is it isn't that it was something wrong with it, but does it serve you in this moment? And when something is difficult or painful to let go of, that's when you know you're attached, because you should be willing to freely let things come and go into your life. When they are right, invite them in. When they are no longer right, let them go.
Okay, so I imagine that a lot of people would come to you and ask you to hold their hand through the process. Is that sort of what you do?
Absolutely, because I've gone through this freedom journey for myself. So I walk the talk. And part of what I wanted to do is not only teach people these behaviors, but be there with them as they're going through the metamorphosis. So it's sort of like, you know, a butterfly. Like, I'm watching every stage of transformation. And I remember coaching someone from Cisco, and wow, we got to a detachment that just had her shaking physically.
Wow.
And she said, okay, we're done for today, because now I got to go to bed and like just curl up in my blanket, because the truth is so clear. I am shaking in fear, and I know what I have to detach from.
Sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah, but going through it doesn't necessarily feel good in the moment.
Yeah, this is a good thing for her from where I sit, because I'm not going through it. But I imagine it's good. It's like, you know, my grandmother used to call it upsetting the apple cart. Sometimes you have to upset the apple cart.
Well, if you think about the concept of freedom, It implies that you're enslaved in some way. And so people think that freedom is free. Freedom ain't free.
There you go. There is a charge. There is a charge for freedom.
There is a price to pay for one's freedom. And you just have to be willing to pay that price.
So where can people find out about you? Do you have a book or a website?
The website is 7behaviors.com, the number 7.
Okay.
And all my information, I have freedom wisdom videos that I produce on a weekly basis. So all of that's there as well.
Okay.
So, and all the information about the 7 behaviors.
Can you let us know what number 4 is?
Sure. Number 4 is be loving.
Oh, I like that one.
And that's really about breaking free from negativity. So a lot of times the reason why we can't move forward is because we are mired in negative energy. And so if you can break free from that, what I tell my clients to do is, anytime you're in a negative situation, realize that that negative energy, usually it comes in relationships that they have, that those people come into your life to teach you. And so if you're unkind, you're judgmental, you're unforgiving, you really hinder your ability to discern and to learn from another person. So I give them a simple phrase that anytime you're feeling negative energy, ask yourself, what would love do?
Oh.
What would love do? And think how liberating it feels. So versus going through anger, frustration, judgment, all of these negative energies, that in every situation you could look across from someone and just think, okay, what would love do? Would love forgive? Would love be patient? Would love ask another question?
You know, it's very interesting to me. I think that a lot of times people will say, well, you know, love solves everything. But, you know, a lot of it is a choice that you make, I imagine. It's sort of easy to speak the words, but to actually, like you said, you know, walk the talk is difficult.
Exactly.
I think that if someone were to go to your website, would they get like the full list of things? What would they find at the website? I want to encourage people to go there.
On the website is everything about the 7 behaviors, as well as a daily practice for you to begin to master these behaviors. I'm in the process of also developing a masterclass, an online masterclass, so that I will walk you through each of these behaviors, give you some practice, so that you can begin to incorporate them into your life. It's one of these things that you have to devote yourself to a practice, because again, they seem very simple until you actually have to put them into practice in every day and every situation that you're involved in, and to be able to really own them completely. And that's the challenge. It's like, oh yeah, I'm truthful. Okay. But if you're sitting across from your boss and you're intimidated because nobody in the room is agreeing with your perspective, are you going to share it, or are you just going to go along with the bunch?
It's like a confrontation with the self. It's interesting you say that. When you say, I remember being in, years ago when I was in corporate America, being in rooms and being the only chick in the room and being the only, no pun intended, Stephanie, being the only being the only young woman in the room and the only young Black woman in the room, and not being able to get my idea across, even though I knew it was superior. Part of me knew that they knew. I wasn't in a position, or I didn't feel I was in a position to step up and really push my idea forward, because I didn't have the courage.
Yeah.
That might be it. I felt there was something I could lose from that. But again, that's facing the reality of the situation. So, I mean, it sounds to me like this, like that your seven behaviors could help people through what we're going through now in during Corona and COVID. But I think it... You know, considering we are going through another paradigm shift, and, you know, one could feel the energy is going to be a little bit tumultuous just as we get started into this new, I'd say, climate, I'll say. What behavior, was there one behavior that you think would be something someone can take and embrace through this change? Because for some people, there's a lot of opportunity presenting itself. But at the same time, there's something else that is like gone forever.
So here's the beautiful thing about the practice, and then I'll share the last three behaviors real quickly, is that every morning you get up and you select one of these seven behaviors to focus on for the entire day. And you just let spirit guide you to whichever behavior you feel would best serve you to keep you liberated throughout that entire day. And believe me, nobody has a problem with getting up and being sort of drawn to one behavior over the other. They're designed to work in harmony because all seven behaviors are necessary for you to live free. So you can be a master at be courageous, but if you are, you know, not good at being detached, that's going to be the one that's going to trip you up and enslave you. So they are designed to be in harmony and to work together. So if there was one that I would be leaning into, and it's actually the one that I am leaning into during this particular time, it's the next one, which is to be faithful. This is number five, and it's really breaking free from inconsistency. Because the world right now is so tumultuous, I think it's very easy to get sort of wrapped into the storm of things. It's like, okay, things are really crazy right now, so I'm going to lean in a lot to what's happening on the news. And you sort of get consistently enticed by what's happening in your external environment versus, again, figuring out what your truth is and then being faithful to that. Because if you don't do that, you're always going to be a slave to temptation.
Oh.
Hmm.
Hmm.
So how are you going to be free and manifest that vision of how you really want your life to be if you're constantly being pulled in one direction or the other?
It's interesting to say temptation. It brings to mind, for me, it brings to mind the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us not into temptation. You know, lead us not into temptation.
Exactly. And I choose that word consciously and deliberately because we're all tempted. We're tempted to eat the wrong foods. We're tempted to listen to negative voices in our own head or negative messages in the media. Every moment we can make a conscious choice about where we put our attention and our energy. And so be faithful is saying, I have made an intention for my life. And in order not to get enslaved or entangled in anything else other than that, I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to be faithful. I use the phrase, keep your attention on your intention.
It sounds easier said than done, but I know for a fact that it's a way to be. I think people are often afraid of what they really want and to actually, you know, they almost feel they're not entitled. A lot of times people don't feel they're entitled to certain happinesses.
Well, and here's the beautiful thing about the behaviors is that by getting up every morning and selecting a behavior like be faithful, you get a full day to put that behavior into practice. So you get up in the morning and you do selection. But from that point forward, you're in action around that behavior. So you're constantly reminded, I've got to be faithful. So was that, again, around what my food choices are going to be or what I need to do in terms of my work or something I need to do for my family? So you are actually real life putting that into practice. And you know the universe is so benevolent. If you've chosen a behavior, you're going to be presented with opportunities, situations, challenges for you to go deep into that behavior until you can master it.
Yeah, there's an opportunity for fulfillment. That's the way I see it.
So we talked about be still earlier, and it's really breaking free from busyness. So that's the sixth behavior, because we get enslaved by activity. And if you don't give yourself a chance to go get still and be still, again, I mentioned that's where the place where, one, you find your balance, your equanimity, but also where truth is revealed. So stillness is absolutely critically important. Sometimes you can't figure out the way to get out of your enslavement until you get still, because then all of the answers can be downloaded into you. But if you're so busy, there could be all kinds of messages from spirit coming to you and you'll miss them.
Right, exactly. It's true. I know that for a fact, that whole be still thing, and a lot of people don't trust their gut or their inner voice. There is a voice.
Absolutely. And then the final behavior is be happy. And it is not like happy, happy, joy, joy. It is breaking free from expectations. I use a 7-word description for each behavior. And for be happy is always accept each moment as it is.
Always accept each moment as it
is. Each moment as it is.
Very Zen.
Absolutely. This is really a spiritual practice. I'm trying to liberate your mind, your body, and your spirit. Again, I said freedom is an inside job. So this has nothing to do with anything, but what is it going to take for you personally, internally, to feel liberated? And when you can be happy and find meaning and purpose and significance in every moment, that's freedom.
I can see how there's a synergy between the seven when you go through each one. It's almost like each of the behaviors feeds off of the other.
Absolutely. Because sometimes in stillness, again, you find your truth. As you become courageous, then you realize, oh my God, I need to be more faithful in that courageousness. So they're always dovetailing and supporting each other until you are grounded and in mastery of all seven. It takes a minute, but when you get in harmony with all of them, then you are free. You're back to that vision that I started off with, where you are free from all your problems and your fears and your worries because you know how to be happy.
It all sounds so simple, but you know, and I listen to you, and I'm sure other people are. I imagine other people might be feeling like me. I feel like I should know. I should know better. Why didn't I know this? It makes so much sense.
Here's the real deal, is it isn't like these behaviors are foreign. They're very simple behaviors. There aren't words that you haven't heard of before. The problem is what we're used to is doing versus being. That's why they're called behaviors. And I always capitalize the B.
I noticed that.
And because there's a difference between being and doing. Doing has a beginning and an ending. I do the dishes. I do a presentation. I do something for my mother. Being is never ending. It means it's always on. So it isn't that you don't know how to do truth. People know how to do truth, but being truthful means I'm going to be in truth no matter where I am, who I'm with, or what I'm doing. It's the consistency. That's why people don't get to the final stages of living free, is because they're trying to do these behaviors versus be these behaviors.
I always say to people with exercising is a good example. I like to use this. Exercising is not about the intensity of it and how much weight you're going to lift or how fast you're going to run. It's about the consistency.
Exactly. And what I call the obedience. So I remember going, it's a simple example. So none of these situations that enslave you have to be really grand. You know, sometimes we think, oh my God, it's like something monumental. It can be really simple. In most cases, it's the simple things. But if you don't attend to the simple things, when the big things come, you won't be ready for them. So I was in the grocery store and I was checking out and saw this woman ahead of me with this, what I found out later was a bearded dragon lizard on her shoulder. Huge. I'm like, again, grocery store, why she brought in a grocery store, that's beyond the point. But it was very intriguing because everybody was looking at it and I'm looking at it. And I'm a little bit intrigued because it's something I had never seen before and scared out of my wits because I am not a critter person at all. But as I leave out the door and she's outside by this point, I'm walking toward my car with my groceries and I'm like, I really kind of want to go up close and check that thing out. And I hear Stephanie, eat your own dog food. This is a be courageous moment and you're scared. So I put the groceries in the car because once I hear truth, then I'm all over it. I go over to the woman. I said, you have to excuse me. I teach these 7 behaviors and I have to eat my own dog food. And I really want to see that lizard, but I'm scared to death, but I got to do it. I'm going to videotape it and I'm going to share it with my audience. And is it all right? She's looking at me crazily, but she puts the lizard on my shoulder and I'm literally heaving.
Oh,
because this thing is long and its tail is going all the way down to my waist. But I needed, it wasn't that, it was because the choice I was making in that moment was that, oh, that's very interesting. And maybe next time when it's more convenient, when I'm not so afraid, I will check out the lizard. When I knew that my truth was the fact that I wanted that experience, then I needed to step into be courageous and actually do it. So I'm not telling people to step into something that's outside of their truth, but when you know it's right and it's something you want, then you have to be courageous enough to own it. And so I just became courageous in that moment, had her hold the video camera and, you know, we put this thing on my shoulder. And it was a beautiful video to share with my audience.
I could imagine.
Yeah. But again, what normally happens is that when we have those moments of learning, those moments that we can be actionable with the behaviors, we let it go.
Next time.
I'll do it next time. Next time. So then we haven't really taught ourselves how to be courageous because we missed an opportunity to put it into practice.
I imagine there's like a mental mechanism. When I make decisions, I'm just going to share this with you and the audience. When I'm like in a situation and I have to make a decision and it's a situation that requires courage for me, let's say to make a change or to talk to somebody frankly about somebody, I always say to myself, how will I feel? I usually push it out like a bit, like how I feel in a year that I didn't do this today. How will I feel in 5 years that I didn't do this? How will I feel in 10 years and looking back and seeing I could have done this and I didn't do it? How will I feel in an hour for not doing it in some cases?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you miss those opportunities, those are opportunities for growth. And what I made a decision long ago is that I'm never going to miss an opportunity for growth. And so anytime I felt a moment that I wasn't being fully free, whether it was large or small, I decided to lean into it and put it into practice right in that moment. And moment by moment, step by step, you start to see all of the chains that have been binding you start to just wither away.
Right. You know, and that's what we want. We don't want the chains.
We don't want the chains.
We don't want the chains.
We got to pay the price.
Got to pay the price to get rid of them. That's true. I think that it just seems so logical that I can't imagine not practicing the 7 behaviors. When did you first get involved with this? You said it in the beginning, but I just want you to tell us again, because it's so easy to just like, you know, listen to something and then just kind of let it dissolve. So there had to be a point where you said, I have to do this. I have to write this down. This is my forte. This is what I have to offer the world. How did you know?
I think I was actually living the behaviors before I was conscious that I was living them. And the honest truth, let me be truthful, is that I was in meditation in my guest room. And I sat down for a 20-minute session. And before I went into the session, there were no 7 behaviors. When I got up from my cushion about 20 minutes later, I heard, go get a piece of paper and write this down. This is what you are supposed to teach the world. And I got the piece of paper and they started coming out. be truthful, be courageous, be detached, be loving, be faithful, be still, be happy. And it came through, it was just the best way to describe it for anyone that's spiritual. It was like a Moses on the mountaintop moment. Like I got this download of these behaviors and instantly I just have this ability to sort of connect the dots really quickly. I realized that trying to teach people what to do wasn't sustainable because they hadn't learned how to be. So if I'm telling you to go do something with your boss to move your career forward, but you don't know how to be truthful and courageous, are you going to do it? No. So that I realized in that moment, oh, I have to step things back. I have to teach people how to be first. And then the doing will emerge from the being. Doing will become much more effortless once you learn the right way to be. And I was able then to connect the dots that, oh, wow, as I've been shedding all of my chains and becoming more and more free, I've actually been practicing these seven behaviors.
Which is why you're so centered and you're so grounded and you're so helpful.
I don't know about all of that, but I know that.
That's the way I'm receiving it. That's the way I'm receiving it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm grounded definitely in these seven behaviors because I practice them. And I've practiced them intensely. So I've done my 10,000 hours plus in terms of these behaviors for myself. But then I'm also teaching them to others and helping them through the practice as well. But they really came as to me a spiritual gift. And with any spiritual gift, I don't want to hold on to them. I want to pass them on to others.
It seems that it's appropriate to pay something like this forward to share it. And I really thank you for really opening up like this for me and for the audience. And I'll just tell the audience that you were very helpful to me when I spoke to you a few days ago. We were going through a pandemic. I lost someone in my family. And I was just like in a weird place. And you just said to me, be still. You know, you canceled our pre-interview and you said, you need to be still. And so I said, okay, I'll be still. And I did it. And you know something, I found there were certain things that just came to me. I knew what to do, what I knew what to do for myself, and I knew what to do for one of my family members that, you know, was really hurting as much as I, maybe more. And being still, I was able to let these things come to me. I knew I had to take this action because I could do this for him. Be still was very important. During Corona, I just want to say to anybody who's listening that many of us have lost people to the virus. I'm one of those people that has lost people to the virus, and it is devastating. And it puts you in a space sometimes for me where you feel immobilized and at the same time you feel oddly galvanized. You feel compelled to do something. But Stephanie, when you told me to be still, that said it all. It was so simple. I did it and I just stayed in my space. I went still and then I knew exactly what to do next. And when I was ready, then I just sort of came out and said, I'm back in business of relating to people. So I thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Because all I was doing, Tony, in that moment was being truthful. So that was, you were in stillness and I was in my truth. Because when you shared that story that you had just lost a family member and you were trying to have a pre-interview with me, there was nothing in my truth that pre-interview needed to happen that day. And I was like, because my heart, so in terms of be loving, it went to love. It was like, okay, what matters most to me right now, which is to be kind, to be sensitive, to be compassionate to what you're going through. And whatever we were supposed to do together was secondary for
me. Yeah.
And I just wanted to honor that versus trying to force fit. Here's the deal. It would not have felt free. That exchange, because I would not have felt, you know, in integrity with what I was really feeling. And you were conflicted because you had families, a situation to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would have been enslaving for both of us.
Well, you know, I see it now in retrospect. I really do. And I'm really glad, you know, I tend to go with the flow and my gut was telling me to talk to you about it a little bit first. I think that it just turned out the way it was supposed to be. And I thank you because it did work for me because I was actually practicing being still. You know, there's something about it. And being still can be deafening. I'll say that. It can be deafening. It can be.
Or the demons come.
Or the demons come in, you know.
And I think that's been part of the problem with the pandemic is that people have had a lot of time to be still. And I remember the first month, my son called me. He said, "Mom, this is driving me crazy." I said, "The voices, huh?"
Yeah, it's the voices in your head. Yeah, you know, but you know something, sometimes you have to listen to what the universe is trying to say to you. And I believe the universe, some people call it God, but I believe the whole thing is really loving and wants to be helpful. And it's all inside of yourself. It's there.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's there.
And I think that you just have to tap into it, own it. Don't let it atrophy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, I think one of the closing messages that I want to share is that the reason why I'm so passionate about these behaviors and passionate about helping people to live free is because life is short. If there's anything with 400,000 people that have succumbed over the last year, we realize that life is short. And if life is short, it goes back to choice. If life is short, do I want to suffer or do I want to be happy? Do I want to be enslaved or do I want to be free? And so I have a sense of urgency for people to embrace these seven behaviors as a path, not the path, but a path to freedom if it resonates for you, because I want you to have the most fulfilling, purposeful, enjoyable, peaceful, successful life that you could ever have because you're worthy.
That's an excellent way to close because I think a lot of people out there need to know this. And I can attest to the effectiveness of the seven behaviors firsthand, and I recommend it. So once again, what is your website where people can go and learn more about you?
It is 7behaviors.com. The other thing, in terms of social media, you'll find me on LinkedIn. And recently, I just joined Clubhouse. And every Friday evening, if anyone's on Clubhouse, I host for an hour a session just teaching the 7 behaviors for living free, but giving people an opportunity to ask questions and then practice them with me. So you could actually do a spot coaching session with me live.
Wow, that would be so good.
And I can work through whatever you feel like you need to break free from. We'll work on it and we'll help you find a behavior that's going to suit you.
Yes, and you'll actually find it yourself, I believe. And again, so I'll tell the audience 7 behaviors. It's the number 7behaviors.com. And also, you can find Stephanie at Clubhouse and also on LinkedIn, which is where I hang out as well. It's a place to be. And so I thank you so much, Stephanie Chick.
My pleasure, Tony.
I will have you on again for sure. Yes. I mean, my director is nodding. Yes, yes. So I'm going to have you on again. And I know that the audience will really appreciate you when they listen to this interview. You're just a complete love. And I'm just going to give a shout out to Dawn Earhart Witte, who was a person that introduced me to you. And it was one of the most worthwhile encounters I've had in a long time, especially during these times. Very appropriate for what we're going on now to know someone like you.
Oh, my honor. I feel the exact same about you. So thank you so much for opening up your platform to share this with your audience.
No, it's my pleasure. And I try to keep my heart open for whoever I encounter, and especially for anyone that I present to the audience. It is heartfelt. And so I thank you again. And I'm going to thank the audience for coming to listen to the Energy Stoners Cafe. You know, I'm here for you. And I really appreciate you coming to listen to a show every single time I put one out there. So I'll say for now, bye-bye. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.